Cliff.
I thank God that I have a wife to minister with. You know, I can't sing, and you see, she can. I can preach, but I can't sing. I can sing, but other people don't appreciate it. I feel like we got three microphones here. I feel like a suicide bomber or something like that. You get that feeling? You know, and I am ready to throw a bomb in the kingdom of darkness, because truth, sound grace truth, you know, destroys Satan's territory. That's why he hates the message of the mystery. He hates Paul's gospel. He hates rightly dividing the word, because it reminds him of his defeat. He thought he was so wise. He thought if he could kill Israel's Messiah and king, that'd be it. God kept the secret, right? Praise God. And, you know, I hope everybody got sleep last night. You know, I tell Mary, like, you know, how the pastor, Dave, I know I prepared this week, and sometimes people, you know, you look out and, you know, and it's the coolest thing. But I told Mary, I've never fallen asleep during one of my, when I preach, not once. Because I'm kind of loud, you know. So with that, that's for the pastor. He likes opening up with humor, so I dedicate that to him. We're going to be in Philippians 3, but I want to go to first, excuse me, Ephesians, I believe it's chapter 5. You know, it's a week after New Year's? Me and Mary weren't here, so we were ministering at the rehab center. So we want to wish you a Happy New Year's and a blessed growing New Year. And this message, I think, will be right on time, because probably by now, most of us have broke our New Year's Eve resolutions. And we'll kind of give up on making resolutions and instead setting goals. And that this year will be a real growing in grace experience that will grow more this year than we did last year. Because if you're not going forward, you usually don't stand there. You kind of, you know, and that's sort of the Christian life. We'll see even what Paul said, that it's like three steps forward and sometimes two back. But we'll see how Paul dealt with that, because he didn't live perfectly. But he had a goal. You know, and man, you look at Paul's life at the end, that's my goal. I can say I finished my course. You know, he kept the faith. So, let's look at Ephesians, I believe it's chapter 5. Yeah. Paul says here, and I believe in Philippians 2, he has the same idea. Wherefore, start in verse 13, 11, I'm sorry. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. The idea is expose them. And this is, I believe, in the context of false teachers teaching false things. Right. You know, today, people, Christians shouldn't be judging each other. We shouldn't self-righteously judge anybody. But we're supposed to test all things, hold fast to what's good. And we're supposed to expose falsity. You know, otherwise, teachers and pastors are supposed to shepherd the flock. So what? They don't get tossed to and fro by everyone in doctrine. There's sure a lot of winds of doctrine come blowing through the church today. So Paul says we should expose them. Reprove them. For it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are manifested by the light. For whatsoever does make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. I don't think this is talking about an unsaved person. I think it's a time about a saved person, because you'll see in Philippians, he deals with the same thing. It's coming out of a carnal mindset, carnal worldly thinking, and it's arising out of that. You know, and we'll see as we go on. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So, what does it mean to walk circumspectly? Think of a cat on top of a fence, taking a step very carefully, right? We don't see too many cats falling off fences, you know. Or you think of a tightrope walker. You better walk circumspectly on that tightrope, right? Very careful, very balanced, you know. So, Paul's saying, in our walk, walk wisely, walk circumspectly, you know, carefully. And what? Redeeming the time, buying it up. Because we only got so many days here, right? We're thinking of New Year's. Let's redeem this year, redeem the time. Use it to magnify Christ, to reach the lost, to build up believers in Paul's gospel, the gospel of the grace of God. You know, redeem the time. See, this is what my goal for this New Year's, and not just for the year, for the rest of my life. Redeem the time, buy it up, use it for Christ. Now let's go to Philippians chapter 3. And I think I actually have preached from here before. I think it was here, but like Paul, when I start, he says it's a safeguard about repeating. You know, how do you learn? Three ways you learn, right? Repetition. So this is so important, I think. Paul shares it in different ways all through his epistles about it's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me, lives through me. See, that's the Christian life. Because so many times we're committed to become better Christians. And that's a commitment that we can't do. We can't produce the Christian life. All we can do is take this word, do the healthy things, study the word, and you better study it rightly divided, or you're going to be very confused and you'll be tossed to and fro. And so you rightly divide it. We know Paul's our apostle, right? Christ raised up Paul with a new message, right? A new commission. And we know we're supposed to study and rightly divide the word. 2 Timothy 2:15. But it shouldn't stop there. That's where some people get it. They learn, okay, we're not... This ain't to us, this is to us. But this is to us, then we need to apply that. That's where a lot of people don't get. They get big doctrine heads and they can argue and they can rip up people with the scriptures, but they're not there to edify people. It's taking the word of God, making application, it's building that sound edifice of doctrine in our souls. So what? In the midst of our details of our lives, we can walk in that truth. And we can be used of God, you know. I didn't even say the name of my message, did I? Anyway, I was thinking about it. It's kind of, you know, messages, the name should be kind of short, right? Well, it's from a short speaker for you, Bill. When I say I come up short every day, Bill busts out laughing because some believers here are very carnal, you know. I forgot what I was going to say, so I'll just keep going.
Title to the lesson.
It's every believer, every Christian, not only in our church, every Christian out there has trusted in Christ as what? Their Savior, right? See, it's not a short title. But not all know Him as their life. I think there's a precious few that get to that point. Because, you know why? We're comfortable. I like my life. I know I'm completely forgiven. My past sins, my present sins, my future sins. I'm completely forgiven. God's not going to punish me. I like reading my Bible in the morning, and I like coming to church, and I love the fellowship. You know, I love the music, and I'm just comfortable in my life. You know? And then all of a sudden, somebody comes with the bomb. We ain't there yet. Paul wasn't there yet. He had a goal. Let's not just be comfortable. Let's let God stretch us. And that's why we study the Word. And that's why you depend on the Holy Spirit. That's why you rightly divide it. So we can know, how is God working today? So Christ can express Himself out of us. You know, my old pastor Kirk would used to say, you know, so many times we're asking, Lord, come, right? When we're going through things. You know, unbelievers say, I just want to kill myself. Well, ain't proper for a Christian to say that, right? So we just go, wish the Lord would just take me, right? Yeah, that's how we get, because we go through things and sometimes we're not applying this Word of God. We're trying to deal with it on our own. We're not into the Word of God. We're not getting spiritually energized, and we just get worn out, right? So there's this goal to keep this heavenly focus. You know, we shouldn't be looking up. We should be looking down from our... We're seated with Christ, right? In our identity and all those spiritual blessings in Christ. And looking at life here from a heavenly perspective. Remember the old saying, you can be so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good? Yeah, I think that's a doctrine of demons. You can't be too heavenly minded. Because when you're heavenly minded, you'll be some earthly good. You'll be a good father. You'll be a good mother. You'll be a good daughter, a good son, a cousin, sister, brother. Because Christ will express Himself out of you when you stay heavenly minded and look at things from God's perspective. You know, Paul says, what about a soldier? He don't get caught up in things of this world. And many times we do, right? And sometimes you can't help it. People get sick. And we get our minds on in our families we care about. We get our minds out there. We get sickness and this and that. But you know what? When in the midst of that, what do you have to tell yourself? Like, I got some things, painful things that are, one thing's coming back. I got some other things. And we have some people, I think of my sister and brother, I know that go through physical things, you know, every day, pains. And how do you deal with that? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's one thing to know something, and it's another thing to appropriate what you have in Christ. You do that by faith and independence. So let's go to Philippians chapter 3. And Paul says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. You know, the book of Philippians is a book of joy. Well, how do I rejoice when I'm going through terrible problems? You don't know what I'm facing. God knows what you're facing. Christ was tempted in every way, yet without sin, right? We can rejoice as we keep our heavenly focus, as we keep our focus on Christ, to know He's my strength. It's no longer I who lives, but what? Christ who lives through me. So we can rejoice. Here's like what I was saying. I believe I preached from this section before. But Paul says, to write the same things to you, to me, indeed, it's not grievous, but for you it's safe. The idea is it's a safeguard. You know, sometimes we think we know stuff. You know, even studying the Word of God. You can't live off, if you studied the Word of God last week and you think you're going to have a spiritually energized life this week? Could you live off your cereal last week and be physically strong? No. That's why we need to steady take in the Word of God, because it worketh in us, right? It energizes us. And then he tells them first, there's a lot of bad teaching out there. There was in Paul's day. Paul would establish churches, think of Galatians, and all of a sudden them little legalizers would come in. And you know, Paul says, what did he say in Galatians? That they so soon, I marvel, that you so soon turn away from the one who called you. They turned away from Paul, they turned away from his gospel, the gospel of the grace of God. And they didn't turn back to paganism, because they were saved. Just like the Corinthian believers, they were like all pagans. What were they turning to? When Paul said, all those in Asia, so I think it was northern Turkey, have deserted me, turned away from me. What were they turning to? Because that's mostly in the church today, and I hope people on the video are really listening up to this. What were they turning to? Paul said another gospel, which is not, see, it was a gospel. But it's not the gospel, the grace of God. You know what they were turning back to? The kingdom program. following Jesus according to the flesh, where Paul tells us what? We don't know, though we knew Christ, yeah, in his earthly ministry to the nation Israel. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. He said, we know him no longer. Today in the church, they're trying to follow Christ, teaching the Sermon on the Mount, right? Keeping the Ten Commandments. They bring the priesthood in, right? It's religion. That's what they turn to. And that's what Satan takes this word out of context and he'll use the word of God. Remember he told Christ? It's written, but he takes it out of context. And today, that's what mostly in Christendom is being taught, right? A kingdom gospel. An earthly kingdom gospel. Paul said, we don't know Christ. We're supposed to know Christ as head of the body. Seated at the right hand of the Father. How do you know him like there? Paul says, I give you the commands of Christ for today. How do you know how to follow Christ today? Paul's epistles, right?
Amen.
And how many churches are teaching that? You know what they're mostly into? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Or let's get it. Get in Acts. Well, get popping, right? Let's get running. Jumping. See? Wrong instructions. And what happens? People, your average believer, if you want, I'm so thankful that God has opened up my eyes and my brother and sisters to rightly divide his word. So you don't get confused where to go to and, you know, what our instructions are. We're blessed. And we're not the only ones, you know. I'm thankful for the internet. I'm thankful for this ministry, for our brother bringing in this ministry, because the teaching from this pulpit is going all through the world. And other grace teaching churches, it's moving out there more than ever. So people can have a choice to hear the gospel, and then they can choose to reject it or not. So he says, beware of the concision. You know what that can be? He's talking about the legalists. You know what that can be? Paul wasn't very well-thinking of legalists. Because that can be interpreted the mutilation, like cutting deeply. Remember in Galatians what he said? I loved it when I was studying, when I was a pastor. I was studying, preaching through Galatians verse by verse. Paul says, I wish they'd go ahead and cut themselves completely off. I love that. I said, Paul, man, Paul is bold. Paul was very loving, but at times, see, he was gentle with weak people. But with the legalists, the false teachers, he was straight up. Remember when Peter was going off? Paul got in his face, man. He said, I told him to his face. Because he was starting to mislead people. And the legalists, what did he say? We didn't give them not even a minute, if you want. How we would say it. We didn't even give him a chance. He cut that stuff off right away. So he says, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Just jumped over to Colossians because there's a teaching today that actually is why so much erroneous teaching is, it's called replacement theology. It goes all the way back to origin. See, if you research things, you'll see how a lot of what's being taught today, the roots of it. Origin says, when Israel rejected Christ, he was what they called one of the early church fathers. He says, because you looked and seen, the temple was torn down in 70 AD, right? That when they rejected, the nation Israel rejected Christ and asked for him to be crucified, that God was done with them. And now we're spiritual Israel and we get all their blessings. That is so wrong. Read Paul's epistles in Romans 9, 10, 11. Romans chapter 9 is Israel's past. Romans chapter 10 is Israel's future. Romans Israel's present. Romans 11 is Israel's future. God's not done with Israel. And we're not spiritual Israel. So Paul's using, when he says, we're the circumcision. What was circumcision? It was an outward covenant God gave for Israel to be set apart as his people. So Paul's looking at us. Ours is not physical. Go to Colossians. Where was it? I think it's 2. Yeah. Verse 6. Colossians 2:6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him. So how did you receive Christ Jesus as Lord? You trusted, you depended, right, for him to save you? How do you live the Christian life? Same way. You depend on him in you to express himself out of you. That's a Christian life in a nutshell. It's total dependence on him. You know, I hear so much teaching, even in Grace churches at times, saying, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to be more Christ-like, you need. Paul said, it's no longer I. Like I mentioned, sometimes I jump around too much maybe, but all we can do is healthy things. Study the Word, come to an assembly that teaches grace, that motivates you to want to apply the Word of God, but we can't produce a Christian life. Does God say that His fruit is our fruit? It says it's the fruit of the Spirit. We can bear it, but He produces it. And how does he do that? As we depend on Christ. And so he says, beware in verse 8, beware lest, I'll keep going to 7, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in therein with thanksgiving. See, it's always thanks. A Holy Spirit walk, Spirit-filled walk is a walk what? Well, you're thanking God. Throughout the day, you're thanking God. When you're going through hard times, you're thanking God. Why? God's working all things for your good. He's taking it, and things that would destroy an unsaved person, God is building you up. Because tribulations produces perseverance, character, right? On and on. So God works it for our good. Beware lest anyone spoil you. See, it's the idea, is lead away as prey, carry you off as spoil. False teachers will do that. Turn on Christian TV. They'll tell you, God just wants, he just wants to give you all your dream. He wants you rich. You just got faith. You see how happy I am because I got faith. You know, you always be healed. And then they use a verse here, verse there, a kingdom of promise. And then what happens when believers, it don't happen? It's in the Bible, isn't it? See, we not only need to be biblical, we need to be, is it dispensational? Is it to us? Is it promises to us? Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, see, worldly man philosophy, and vain deceit. And listen to this, after the traditions of men. A lot of traditions out there in denominations, ain't there? And the rudiments of this world and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So in Christ, he's complete God, right? God dwells in him. He's God the Son. The Father dwells in him. The Holy Spirit dwells in him, right? He's complete. And you are complete. Amen. Do you get that? Amen. In Christ. You're blessed with every spiritual blessing. Yes, you can walk in a healthy, vital spiritual walk. As you depend on Christ. Because you're complete. But we got to learn, I got to really get to this, how to take what we have in Christ, get a hold of it by faith, and let it work. Let him work through us. So he says in 11, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. You see that? It's what's circumcision? The cutting away of the flesh, right? Okay? This is a mini version of Romans 6. You died with Christ. God cut you out of Adam. You were buried. You'll never go back into Adam. So how could you lose your salvation? Excuse me, legalist. And you rose with him, right? See, it's not just we're forgiven. It's just not we're not in Adam. God placed us in Christ for a reason. Christ placed His Spirit in us. So Christ gave His life for us. So what? He could give His life to us. Why? So He could just hang out in Chicago? So He could live His life to us. That's Christ's desire. To express His love, His truth in you. Boy, you talk about waking up in the morning and have meaning and purpose for life. I don't care what you're going through. Thank you, Lord. Here I am, Lord. You want to worship God? You got people here. All right, let's hit. We're going to do a worship service. La, 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 you know, I got chills going up and down my back. Got to be the Holy Spirit moving. No, worship. Now, you can't. There's nothing wrong with emotions and feelings. I love it. I get passionate when I'm preaching. You know, I get emotions in that. But it's the Holy Spirit is spirit. It's not how you feel. Worship is offering your bodies as a living sacrifice in view of God's mercy, view of His grace. Here I am, Lord. Paul said that's what your logical, reasonable act of worship is. That's worship. Here I am, Lord. On my own, I can't do it. I ain't much. But everything I am, that new man who You've made me, express Your life on me. When I go to work in the morning, I go, God, use me to reach people. Jehovah's Witness just read my book. Talking about the power of God, because I ain't supposed to read other people's stuff. But he's only been there about a year, so he don't know all the stuff yet, you know. And then the other guy, he was raised like Pentecostal, but he's not really focused on the Lord now. He asked, could he read it next? You know, praise God, because I pray God use me at my work. You know, pray God use me in my family. And you know what? We're praying for our families to get saved, right? I hope you are. I would imagine everyone is. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. If we don't share the gospel with them, they ain't hearing. We're praying, Lord, bring people in their lives. You know, God ain't speaking directly, but it'd be like, I got you. You're there. You know, so Paul says, and putting off the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, verse 13, buried with Him in baptism. That's that spiritual identification. We were placed into Christ. That's not water. Just like the circumcision is without hands, this baptism isn't by a man. It's by the Holy Spirit. Buried with Him in baptism, wherein ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God who has raised Him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh has quickened, made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. So I just wanted to go there so you could get the context of what were the circumcised. somebody shoot that clock. Like I always say, I know the pastor didn't put up that clock. It was that one who don't like a long church service. All right, I'm going to have to jump ahead here. Paul gave his resume, saying he's a Hebrew of the Hebrews in verse 5, as touching the law, Pharisee. He's saying what he used to be. Paul used to be religious. He was so zealous, he thought them Hebrew kingdom saints were false teachers, teaching a false thing. He was getting them, dragging them, and getting them beat, and they were getting killed. You're talking about zeal. But what the grace of God can do. Look at Paul later. This is Paul later. But he, you know, because he always had to defend his apostleship. Today, we got to defend Paul's apostleship. Because, you know what? When you teach, you know, most churches today won't be in Paul's epistles. I've heard, one Bible teacher sharing with the pastor some things that he goes, I've never seen that. Well, what do you preach out of? Usually Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, or Acts, or the Old Testament. Then Paul says in verse 7, for what things were gained to me, those I count as loss. See, Paul's the lost and found department, if you want. Actually, he's thinking of a scale. This is what I used to count gain. But man, when I got saved on the road to Damascus, and I knew Christ as my Savior now, and now I'm learning Him as my life, that can't compare to that dead religion. Boring, 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 boring religion. That's why so many people don't come to Christ, I think, because of legalists. The self-righteous has looked down on them, and they love curling their lip back, calling them sinners. I'm not like that sinner. But when they see somebody who understands grace, not just the head knowledge. We need doctrine. We need knowledge, but knowledge just for knowledge puffs up. Love edifies. God wants to take that knowledge, get it into our wills, and through our wills, express it out. God wants to produce agape love, where we speak the truth in love. We're there for people in love. We can't produce that. That's why we depend on Christ. And look what the way Paul puts it. Yea, doubtless, in verse 8, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. It's excellent. Most people in church, a whole lot of churches, the majority today, are not understanding who Christ is according to Revelation and the mystery. They're not preaching Christ. Romans 16:25, right? Paul's gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation and the mystery, hidden time past. It wasn't revealed in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. It wasn't revealed in early Acts. It wasn't until Paul got saved. And it's an excellent knowledge of my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I might win Christ. What did Paul think about, you know what dung is?
Yeah.
I'll put it nice, manure. Or garbage, if you want. That's what he counted religion. And what did he say? To win Christ. Is he talking about salvation? No. My New King James Bible says to gain Christ. So he's not talking about being saved. He's saying, I had to let that go. To one thing, to be saved. He had to realize he didn't have his own righteousness. Let's keep going. That he had to get that gift of righteousness from God. For verse 9, and be found in Him, Christ, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, what He could do in His own flesh, what He could perform, but that which is through the faith of Christ. Christ was faithful. And we trust in Him, what He did. Not trust in Jesus plus plan, get baptized, walk an aisle, say the sinner's prayer, what I recommit to the commitment I broke the week before. No, it's trust what Christ, it's finished. And through His death, what's Paul's gospel? What's the gospel for today? Ask some believers, what's the gospel for today? And some of them will look like, the gospel for today is what? That Christ, and this is gospel that you get saved. That's why it's so important to rightly divide the word, to know Paul as our apostle, and he gives us our instructions today. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, and he rose again the third day. When we trust in the finished work, and I always add Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace you have been saved. And that idea in the Greek, it's in the, I believe, the perfect tense, they call it. It happened one time because two different versions will say you have been or you were. You are. And that the perfect tense there means it happened at a point in time with continuing results. You continually stay saved. You have been saved by grace, unmerited favor, through faith. And then, look at how many times he's making it clear. It's not of yourselves, salvation. It's a gift to God. Right. Not of works, lest any man should boast.
Right.
So it's just believing Christ died, he was buried, and he rose. He died for your sins. That's what saves you. And then it builds upon there. Once you're saved, Paul gives you, Paul tells us, here's his goal. And I've got to be closing out. In verse 9, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is by God by faith. Listen to this. This is what I'm talking about. This should be our goal. That I might know him. Not just know facts about him. Know him intimately. Know him as your life. Not just as your Savior. Yes, praise God, your Savior. But he's our life. That's what God wants us to come to know him as. That I might know him and the power of his resurrection. See, there's power in his resurrection. The same resurrected life that he resurrects lives inside you. That's what God wants us to know. And it's not the power to cast out demons, speak in tongues as time passed. It's the power to love. It's the power to overcome. It's the power to become more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. It's the power to live a victorious, a spirit-filled walk today. And nobody does it perfect. It ain't like a one-time bam. Oh, I got this. Because look at what Paul says. Not that he's already there, but he had a goal. That I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain. The idea is to apprehend, to grab, get a hold on unto the resurrection from the dead. He's not talking about the rapture. He's talking about, that can be interpreted too, the resurrection out from the dead. A dead Christian walk. You know, Paul talks about when he talks about death for the believer, it's functional death. You know, we're saved, but no fruit being produced, right? So, I'm closing out, so just give me a sec. Look what Paul said, not as though I already attained. Don't you love that? Even Paul wasn't there. It's a growing process. Either we're already perfect, but I follow after it, which I have also apprehended by Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. So that Paul didn't walk perfectly, but he learned something. But this one thing I do, think about New Year's. It's New Year's time. Forgetting those things which are behind. Forget about your mistakes. Don't identify yourself by your failures. And don't live on those things that God used you in the past either. But what's he do? And reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. And I'm going to have to be ending. He's thinking about the rapture and the bema seat. Because if you look in context, the verses later. But Paul says he forgets the past. But he presses on. I think of somebody in the Olympics games. You know, Paul uses that illustration. You know, your finish line's coming. See, when you're heavenly minded, your goal, and you're running like that. You ever see before the ribbon? He's grasping. He's trying to keep a hold of being focused on Christ and depending on him. And that's what I hopefully, this message will encourage you today. Yeah, we mess up. Forget the past. And press on. Because God sees you in Christ Jesus. I'm going to end with this, Dave's message. He says, if when you mess up, if you think God loves you less, you ain't thinking grace. Because at our worst, he loves us unconditionally. But God loves us too much to want to leave us in that condition, if you want. He wants us to learn to walk victorious under grace, to walk a spirit-filled life. And so I hope this year, I pray for our church all the time, you know, daily, every morning. Y'all are in the shower with me. I know. That's where I do my praying in the morning. And then I pray throughout the day. So have a happy New Year's. I'm honored to be able to minister here again today. And I love you guys. And me and Mary, and we miss you guys when we're not here, so let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray if there's one or more, I know there's some people, even in this church, I don't believe that are saved, God. They've been for years under the teaching, and maybe their conscience and their heart just has gotten cold to it. And I pray that your Spirit would convict them of their need to trust in Christ, not just know about Him, not just seem to know Paul's our apostle, but to realize they need Christ, that He died for their sins. And I pray someone watching, Father, maybe they're hearing this message and they're thinking, what's He talking about? Because spiritual things are spiritually discerned. I pray that they would understand. They're not going to understand walking in the Spirit. They're not going to understand these spiritual things. But they can understand that they're sinners. They can't save themselves. And that Christ died for sinners. And that if they'll just trust in that alone, not add anything to it, You'll eternally save them, Father. I pray that they'll do that right now. Because maybe there won't be another chance in their life that they'll come this close to trusting. And as the pastor said, in 28,000 years from now, they'll be thinking about this day when they heard it, or other times in their life they heard the gospel. And if they're in heaven from trusting, they'll rejoice, or they'll have regrets in the lake of fire. And I pray for those of us who know You, Lord, those of us who know Paul's gospel, I pray, Lord, would we not only know facts, I pray that we would apprehend, and our desire would be for Christ to live in us, that we would learn how to walk in Your Spirit and be filled with Your Spirit more this year than last year, Lord. And thank You, Father, for our pastor. I pray that You use him where he's at this morning, Lord. Thank You for his stand on Paul's gospel and all these years getting even persecuted for it. And so we just lift him up to You, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So thanks for listening so much.